Downloading.
Downloading.
Audio.
Nonstop.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
You know, to say this year has been tough on our churches is just an understatement. We're talking with Kevin Makins today at SOS Radio. And he's pastor of Eucharist Church in Ontario, Canada. He's an author and actually has a new book. It's called Why Would Anyone Go to Church? This has been a weird season, Kevin. Good morning.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
When our governors have said, hey, we're closing churches, and hey, let's do this online, and let's social distance, and let's put in a whole bunch of protocols, I don't think any of our churches were really ready for the disruption that we've had to deal with these last couple of months, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, it's the same thing here in Canada. Lots of disruption, lots of change, you know, lots of it necessary in order to love our neighbors well and to, you know, be taking care of our neighborhoods. But we are certainly not, as the church, prepared for these kind of changes. We've not had to deal with these kind of things before.
We're talking with Kevin Makins today at SOS Radio, and he's pastor of Eucharist Church in Ontario, Canada. Kevin, there was a Barna study that was just released where it talked about 1/3 of practicing Christians pretty much stopped attending church either online or in person during this COVID-19 pandemic. Maybe there was a little bit of an arc at the beginning where people were plugged in online, but they're not necessarily finding a ton of new people who never went to church before actually watching church online. It's mostly people who already go to church watching multiple churches from other cities or other pastors they like. It's more like podcast consumption. It's been really interesting.
I mean, what has really encouraged me is all the churches that have continued to watch their own streams or have found alternative creative ways to gather together in smaller groups or socially distanced. I think what we're seeing is that those who are truly a part of congregations, those who love their church, those who are connected in their communities, are almost pushing in continually. You know, they're continuing to push in more. They're trying to think creatively, think out of the box, trying to find new ways to be the church. But those who are kind of coming because they liked it, they liked the show, they liked the sermon, they liked the music, those people are maybe the ones who are kind of dropping off of this. They're saying, well, it's not as interesting now that it's online, or, hey, I can watch a better show somewhere else in some other state or some other country. And they're going to be the ones who are dropping off. And we see this biblically, this idea of pruning, the idea that, you know, sometimes God works most powerfully by shrinking his people, by calling the core to go in deeper and giving space for the others to walk off or to distance. And so I think what we're going through is actually biblically quite normative for the church to experience this. But we aren't really used to it in our kind of North American bigger is better, grander is greater mentality.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when you look back in different periods throughout history, the times where the church usually grows were through the times of pruning and persecution, aren't they?
It never starts that way. You know, it always starts with bad news. It starts with, sheesh, like this is brutal. We're scattered. We're home. We're sent out. It's usually only after the pruning that we end up seeing the growth that is true transformation. It's not immediate. There's a death before resurrection. And I think right now we are in that painful season of loss and shrinking. And we need to be, you know, if not comfortable in that, we need to make peace with the fact that this is how God has often worked and that this is not the end of the story, that God's got new things for us to do on the other side of this time of pruning.
We're talking about why church still matters with Kevin Makins today at SWS Radio. And he's pastor of Eucharist Church in Ontario, Canada. Kevin, when you think about the purpose of church, I think a lot of people come with this consumerist mindset today, like, I go to church to be fed, or I go to church to learn about God, or I go to church to worship, but it's more of a consumer mindset. What do you see as the real purpose for church today?
Well, yeah, I think that consumerism mindset still exists among certain people or in certain places. It's an incredibly secular culture. And so part of what we were figuring out in the 10 years that we've been a church, which is what I end up writing about in the book, Why Would Anyone Go to Church? We discovered that, you know, a lot of people were actually now saying, yeah, you know, church, if they view church as a consumer activity, they were saying it's just not good enough. Like the band isn't that good. The teaching's not that good. The building's kind of stuffy. The coffee's kind of mediocre. And so what we've seen over decades in Canada is that people who saw the church as a product to consume ended up just saying, you know what, this product's not good enough. And they ended up kind of giving up on church. And I think that that's okay. You know, if you're looking for church to be a product you consume, you're not looking to be a part of the church that Christ launched, the movement. You're looking for a club, and there are other clubs that you could go and join. But what we've discovered is that when you shift the church from being a club mindset or kind of a big show mindset, something to be consumed, to a participatory mindset, that the church is a living, vibrant community. You know, the church is an organism. The church is empowered by the Spirit to be the body of Christ. Well, once you talk about that, now you're talking about something that's interesting to a totally different group of people. where they're saying, I don't want to go to church. I want to be the church. I want to participate in the life of the church and in the mission of the church. And those people are going to be drawn into this. But it's very different than starting with, hey, we've got a really good band and a great kids program. It's a very different kind of way of being the church.
Let's talk about church hurt for a minute. I'm Scott on SWS Radio. We're talking with Kevin Makins. He leads Eucharist Church in the Toronto area. A lot of people have had rough experiences when they were young with church, and something happened, and they've taken that away. And yeah, there may have been some abuse or some manipulation by people at their church or pastors that tried to put authority over them, but we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, like the old cliche says, right? Because the church is the primary vehicle that Jesus uses to reach people in our culture. And when we just say, hey, the church hurt me, so the church is bad, we miss out on so much of the abundant life that Jesus talks about.
There's no secret that the church has caused harm to so many people. A lot of the pain that people have experienced, a lot of the issues that we've seen in our culture around, you know, historic issues of racism and colonialism, that's all being tied to the church. But also a lot of the beautiful stuff we see in our culture is tied to the church. Healthcare and hospitals and, you know, nursing homes, like a lot of these things were started by the church to care for the most marginalized in our communities. And so the church is a mixed bag, good and bad. I think what's often happened is that the church, in an effort to kind of protect its own image, has told people, well, if you had a negative experience, you've got to get over that. And that's not necessarily the best way to help people experience the pain that they've experienced from the church. What we found is when people come to our church with some church baggage, we want to start by saying, hey, that sucks. Like, can you share more about that with us? Can you walk us through that pain? And can you begin to see how the hurt you experienced was not God hurting you, it was people hurting you? And can you begin to experience that, you know, despite the fact that the church is filled with broken people, there's something beautiful and true here. And you, as a person who is also broken, is invited to participate in this community. And so I think we've got to slow down our desire to wrap up people's pain with kind of a nice bow really quickly and spend a bit more time grieving and a bit more time lamenting and even repenting as Christians and as the church to own the places where we have sinned and we've fallen short and we've done what we shouldn't do and we've not done what we should do. And then once we've named that, we're going to be able to see more clearly what it looks like to reclaim the church for good, to step fully into who we are called to be. But we can't have one without the other.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up lament and repentance, because those are two virtues that we don't talk a whole lot about in modern church right now. And when there's things that have gone wrong, or when your spiritual experience has been rough when you were growing up, but you still have a love for God and you still want to know Jesus in a deeper way, but you've been timid to go to church, lament is an interesting place to start to actually find some healing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Until we invite God into the places where we're most hurting, you know, God will not shove God's self into a place where we don't invite God. You know, there are rare times where I've seen that happen, but typically I see that God's pretty kind to sit back and say, hey, listen, I'm right here. I'm knocking at the door, but I'm going to wait for you to acknowledge your own pain with me, you know, to open up that space and invite me in. And then you can do the work of healing and justice and reconciliation. But that's got to start with a place of naming the truth of what we experience, which is often going to be more negative, more painful, and more lament driven.
The church is full of broken people, and a lot of times we think, oh, that's why I don't want to go. I'm Scott on SWS Radio, but at the same time, it's the most encouraging thing about church. We're actually talking with Kevin Makins, because when we can acknowledge the fact that our church is full of sinners and broken people, we can realize, hey, there's room for another one. I'm right here raising my hand, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a very funny thing. I used to think, oh, I don't want to go to church. That's where all the weird, broken, and strange people are. And then kind of had God say to me, it's not like you're so cool. You know, like, it's not like you've got it all together. You've got all your own issues. You've hurt people accidentally. You've hurt people on purpose. You are broken as well. And so I think, yeah, that when the church becomes a place where we're able to name our shortcomings and our failures, and not name them like when we do church testimonies and people are like, you know, I used to be a sinner, but now we kind of try to go to the positive quick, but to say, no, this is an active confession. I'm still not who I ought to be. When we can do that without tying it up with a nice bow, it does create space. It's the broken bits that allow others to grab on to us, the broken parts of church that allow other people to grab on. And so we need to not quickly resolve these things or try to save face or kind of save the PR image of the church. What we need to do is allow the church to be the only place in town that's honest about its brokenness, the only place in town that's honest about its own failures, and the only place in town that's honest about the good news that we're going to be okay, that we are enough in Christ, that we've been forgiven, and that we are being invited into a new way of living, even if we often stumble into it.
We're talking about why would anyone go to church with author and pastor Kevin Makins today at SWS Radio. Kevin, the church that you pastor in the Toronto area is called Eucharist Church. And in the fall of 2010, you started this church completely by accident. I got to hear this story.
It was an interesting thing. It wasn't all by accident, but it certainly happened pretty organically. My wife and I had moved downtown into our city, Hamilton. I'm born and raised in the city, but we moved into these neighborhoods that we really loved. And we just spent 2 years hanging around. And I was in seminary at the time. I was interning at another church in Toronto. And we knew that we eventually wanted to start a congregation that could maybe reach some different people in the city, that could be a different part of the body of Christ. But we didn't know what that would look like. We didn't know when that would be. And we would just hang around, and when we met people in the streets, you know, or at a party or at an art show or a coffee shop, they'd say, you know, what do you do? And my wife would share what she does for work. And they'd say to me, what do you do? And I'd say, we're going to start a church. And they'd be like, that's weird. You know, like you're at a party and you tell somebody you're going to start a church. It's not exactly a feel-good conversation of the night. But people started saying, you know, some people said, oh, I'm not interested in that. But some people said, hey, that's really interesting. I haven't been to church since I was a kid. Other people said, hey, I'm actually a Christian, but I haven't found a church of my own. And other people said, I've never been to church, but, you know, maybe they just had kids and they're trying to figure out what to pass down, or maybe they're going through some sort of crisis and trying to figure out what they believe. And over time, we just had these people saying, when that church thing starts, like, let me know. And eventually they started saying, when is that church thing going to start? You know, let us know when that's going to happen. And so we kind of gathered a group together in our living room and gathered together to pray a couple of nights and said, I think we're called to be a church. And it kind of just started with these 15 people that were saying we're going to be the church together, that we're trying to figure out what that looks like in our context. And then from there has grown slowly and organically into a vibrant community full of different people from different worlds who are trying to follow Jesus and come around the table together.
So being in church for years, a common question that pops up every now and then is, you know, why do I need to go to church? We're actually talking with author Kevin Makins from Eucharist Church in Canada today at SWS Radio. Kevin, people say, you know, my faith, it's personal to me. It's between me and God. Or I can do this faith thing on my own. I don't need church. I can worship by listening to SWS Radio. I was like, no. We need more. This year, it's kind of shown us the opportunity of doing the faith thing on our own. And it's not exactly resulted in a full circle moment for the church. Has it?
Certainly there is an individual side to faith. There's a personal relationship that we do get to have with God. But to look at it biblically, like there's no such thing in the New Testament as an individual identity as a Christian. The identity of people in the New Testament who are followers of Jesus is always a corporate and communal identity. It's being a part of the body of Christ. You know, a toe can't walk off from the body and walk around like a toe, you know, saying, hey, I'm the whole body. I'm the body. Like, no, you're part of this. And so, you know, I understand why people have walked away from church. I can understand why some people don't resonate with certain expressions of church. I don't really have a dog in the fight if people go to a mega church, 1,000 or 5,000, or if they go to a little home church of 5. I don't think that's fundamentally the issue. I think the question is, are you a part of a community of people trying to follow Jesus who together are forgiving each other, learning how to pray together, learning how to worship, learning how to engage in mission together, coming to the table together, hearing the story and the scripture and the good news proclaimed together. And that is the kind of thing that we've always been called into, that there's no sense of identity as a Christian unless you are in some way tied into the wider body of Christ. And so, you know, we are in the season right now where people are at home watching live streams. But even then, when you're watching a church live stream or listening to a podcast from your local community, you are tied spiritually to others who are watching that at the same time. You know, in our church, we've got people gathering in backyards in groups of less than 10, which is, you know, fitting with our government recommendations right now around COVID safety. And they're meeting in backyards in groups of less than 10, socially distanced, and they're watching the Sunday service together. And when it comes time to break bread, they're receiving communion together. And so those 7 people in the backyard, they are the church every bit as much as they were when there was 150 people on a Sunday. And so our identity as followers of Jesus, our imagination around church has often been limited to and to go to some building and be with those people in the building on Sunday. But really, our identity should be that we need to be together as the church, whether that's in groups of 5 or groups of 1,000. And once we kind of expand our imagination and see that the church has always been flexible, malleable, evolutionary, the church has always done this kind of stuff, reinventing herself, we'll be able to relax a bit and say, okay, so God, what are you showing us in this moment? What can we do now as the church that we couldn't do before this kind of crisis hit?
We're talking about rethinking the impact of our churches with Kevin Makins today at SWS Radio, and he leads Eucharist Church in Ontario, Canada. He actually wrote a book called Why Would Anyone Go to Church? It's really a young community's quest to reclaim church for good. But Kevin, what do you see with this COVID season and how it's changed so many things up? Where do you see the future of Christian community?
I try not to answer questions that are too big. You know, I'm not that smart. I'm not that dumb, but I'm not that smart. What I am able to respond to is what I'm seeing on the ground in my own city. And I think for each of us, our context is going to mean that this looks differently. But in the context I'm in, what I'm seeing is that the future of the church is going to be far more participatory. It's not going to be one guy, one girl in the pulpit giving the message and everyone else listening and nodding. It's going to be a community participating together, listening to the good news together, praying together. It's going to be smaller. It's going to be more relationally webbed. It's going to be more linked to place. Like, I think that the rise of online church is going to mean that people can learn from any church anywhere. But when it comes to living it out together, you're going to be doing that with people that are close to your neighborhood. You're going to be doing that with people who you can actually meet with in flesh and blood relationships. And my hope is that the future of the church is going to be less like the empire, less with the huge buildings and the huge staff teams and the huge budgets, and much more organic, participatory, creative, and risk-taking. It's going to not just be once a week in a building. It's going to be 7 days a week in the city streets, in the countryside, in the park, in the school. The church is going to find her life in all of these different places. And I think that's actually a really good thing for the church.
You know, church community plays an important role in our growth as a Jesus follower. Well, let's be honest for a minute. You know, church can be messy. We can be hurt by people. But you know what? When there's opportunity to get hurt, there's also an amazing opportunity to love and to be loved and to find intimacy with God. And we're talking with Kevin Makins today at SWS Radio. It's so interesting. We live in this culture where we want to protect ourselves from pain at all costs. And it's almost like that's become a core value. I don't even understand why.
Well, we have a biological impetus to protection, to survival. We have survival instincts of fight or flight. And so I understand why we avoid pain. You know, pain hurts. But pain is also where we can experience transformation. And I think in the church, there have been times where certain groups of people have been forced to carry more than their fair share of suffering or burden because the church was not set up in a way that allowed them to participate or allowed them to bring their whole selves into the church. And so there sometimes is going to be kind of larger systemic change that the church needs to respond to. And I think we're living in that kind of moment right now. But that's never going to result in a church where no one experiences pain. You know, a church where no one experiences pain in relationships is not a church where we're experiencing love, because love requires that we be vulnerable to one another. Love requires that we listen well. Love requires that we're willing to be wrong, and occasionally that we're willing to be wronged. And without that kind of space for pain, we're not going to have the space for love and then for transformation and for forgiveness. And so, yeah, there's that kind of attitude that people often have. Well, I went to that church and then somebody, you know, was kind of mean to me or something happened where I felt hurt, so I left. And there may be times where that's necessary, but I'd always encourage people to begin with saying, instead of just leaving right away, can you press into that pain and see if actually there might be a chance for mutual listening and for forgiveness. And then if there's a space for listening to each other and for forgiving each other, there can be a space for reconciliation. And once you've got that happening, now you're in a world that Twitter can't touch. You know, social media is really good for making enemies out of somebody else and then dividing from them. And the church historically has done this a lot through things like denominations, which have their place, but have often just been ways that we split from each other. But when we can say, no, we're not going to split quickly, we're going to spend time listening, that's going to be difficult and painful, but that is where we can see the gospel power break in. And that gospel power is exactly what the world needs.
It's interesting when our pastors talk about anything related to poverty or diversity or purity or life. People tend to think, uh-oh, he's starting to go political. But you know what? A lot of times, really, our pastors are going biblical, and we need to push past the political viewpoint. I'm Scott on SWS Radio. Yeah, we're going to go there. But we're not talking about politics. We're talking with Kevin Makins today at SWS Radio. He's a pastor in Canada in the Toronto area, Eucharist Church, and actually just wrote a book called Why Would Anyone Go to Church? And Kevin, it was interesting. I heard Tim Keller from New York City talking about how he believes there's four key things that churches have been afraid to talk about, but all churches need to wrestle through, because they're biblical values that Jesus talked about, and they're not political. We need to support life. We need to support diversity. We need to talk about sexual purity, and we need to deal with poverty, because these are not political issues. These are issues that Jesus cared about, and we tend to say, oh, that's a liberal issue, or that's a conservative issue, or if my pastor starts to talk about poverty, I think he's going to talk about this. Or if he talks about diversity, he's going to talk about this. But Kevin, what have you learned about addressing issues that we're all wrestling with without it being a political thing?
Well, I think that we all have a desire, and it's just a human desire. We have a desire to be with people who we feel are like us. So we want to surround ourselves with people who look like us, talk like us, think like us, vote like us. And the early church experienced a very similar kind of world. You had Pharisees and Sadducees and Zealots and Sicarii. You had all these different tribes. You had Jews and Gentiles and Romans who were ruling over, and Greek heritage. You know, the early church understood full well what it looked like to live in contested space with history of violence and oppression and all of this stuff. And what we see in Jesus is that he calls together people from different worlds. And he doesn't say to them, you're no longer a part of your old identity. He says, you know, you're still the person you are. You're still a Jewish person. You're still a man. You're still a woman. But as you come and follow me, you're going to learn what God's kingdom looks like. And God's kingdom is going to transcend and include all of these different kinds of people and all the different kinds of worldviews. So the early church was very well known for bringing together these differences, but it never did so in order to say, this is the side that's right and this is the side that's wrong. It brought together these different worlds in order to say, when we come together around Christ's table, we are going to see in one another the different ways that God is at work. All of us at points are going to realize that we were wrong. All of us at points are going to realize that we had fallen into the trap of our own culture. And all of us are going to see ways that God has already been at work in our lives, in our community, in our political group, whatever it is. And we're going to bring those to the table. But our fundamental loyalty then is no longer to our political party. Our fundamental loyalty is no longer to people who look and think like us. Our fundamental loyalty is to Christ and his kingdom, his new way of being in the world and his inbreaking world, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And so at points, elements of the kingdom of God are going to line up with policies of different political parties, but no political party and no group is going to fully capture God's kingdom. And the church then can be a place where we all bring ourselves, our lived experiences, our bodies, our histories. We bring it to the table and we humbly say, okay, God, help us understand what in this is a part of your new creation and what in this needs to be let go and I need to let it die. But that's very different from getting up in the pulpit and saying, here's who you're going to vote for this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. We should be able to talk about the issues that we're dealing with as a society and as a culture without letting ourselves get offended by having the conversation or saying, oh, they're going political. It's no, we're just trying to talk through this and figure out what our response is as a person who loves people and loves God and wants to see people healed and reconciled and supported.
Yep. And that's got to go way beyond the person who preaches in the pulpit on Sunday. You know, a lot of churches, they go, oh, well, you know, our pastor, she preached on that on Sunday, and so that's the final word. But no, this has to really work its way into the entire congregation. My favorite things that happened a while ago at our church was I had preached something, and a bunch of people weren't sure if they agreed with it or not, and there was a big kind of debate among different people in our church in our little Facebook group, and someone in the church said, hey, we need to be doing this face-to-face. And so he texted a bunch of people that were in this conversation thread and said, come over to my house. Going to have some bread, going to have some wine, going to have some snacks. And we're going to sit down together in real life, and we're going to talk about this. And we're going to share our stories. We're going to look to the scriptures together. And at the end of the day, we might not even agree, but we're going to be further along the path to God's kingdom than we were when we were just fighting on the internet or disagreeing on the internet. You know, that's something that the church can do so powerfully that is unique to the church.
When we can have those conversations face to face, we can share our heart. It's not a 140 character tweet.
No, and that's just never going to capture the complex realities of human beings or give us the space to experience the kind of transformation that Christ wants to offer.
Well, we're talking with Kevin Makins today at SWS Radio, and he's a pastor in the Toronto area, has a new book. It's called Why Would Anyone Go to Church? It's really a quest for reclaiming church for good. Thanks for taking some time today, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It was great.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.